well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad to have you with me on the program today. Mark Walters from Armed American Radio going to be dropping by here in just a moment. We're going to be talking about Mark's trip to SHOT Show, what he saw on the floor, what he heard from the folks in attendance. Also going to be talking a little bit about the complacency that I think a lot of us are concerned about. Because, you know, we don't have that immediate threat to our right to keep and bear arms. We had to deal with during the Biden administration's whole of government attacks on our firearms industry, on gun owners. That doesn't mean that those threats have dissipated, and it doesn't mean that they've disappeared. So we'll talk about that with Mark Walters. In fact, let's go ahead and get started with that conversation. Take a look and a listen. Mark, it's good to see you, sir. Thanks so much for joining me on to a Tuesday here on Cam and Company.
Always a pleasure. It's been a busy morning already. I've done 2A Tuesday on 97.1 FM with Mark Cox in St. Louis. Did a Breitbart hit, and here we are with Cam and Company, and this is my favorite.
How about that? I love it. Love the tat there. So I got to ask, first of all, since I did not make it out to SHOT Show this year, you did. How was SHOT? What were some of the, were there any big trends that you noticed this year?
Let me start with this, the mood on the floor. Okay. You've been to SHOT many times over the years, so you get this. We've been through presidential inaugurations that coincide with SHOT Show from time to time. Every 4 years, we see it. The mood on the floor this year was exceptional. It was festive. But at the same time, there was some trepidation. There was some consternation. Anxiety, I think, from some folks that I was talking to regarding complacency within the industry. While people feel really good about Donald Trump being in office, the industry is, you know, what's getting ready to happen here without the anti-gun establishment beating us up all day long? What are we going to face? I think we see great innovation. I think we talked about that before from the firearms industry. As far as anything big on the floor, I mean, you've been there before. You know, it's the world-class just explosion of civilian arms. And it's so fun to watch and see. But nothing really jumped out at me other than one thing that hit me. Byrna had a booth there this year with the non-lethal gun on the show of the floor. And every time I went by, it was packed. I'd had a conversation with the CEO of Byrna back late in the fourth quarter of 2024. And that company is making some waves. They are growing by leaps and bounds. I have no problem with non-lethal self-defense. I think it's a great option for some people. And I think Byrna is onto something here. And let's face facts, 95% of the time a gun is pulled in a situation, in a defensive situation, as we know from the statistics and our friend John Lott and others over the years, 95% of the times that gun is never fired. In my instance, I pulled a gun back in 02. My gun was not fired because the mere presence of it stopped an attack. And I think Byrna's onto something here, Cam. I really do. I've not fired the product. I've had my hands on it. It's big. It feels and looks just like a real gun. But I thought it was interesting to see them on the floor. Here you are at the SHOT Show, Shooting, Hunting, and Outdoor Trade Show, and you have this non-lethal tool that is really making some waves in the industry. I don't think that's the future. I know when I carry a gun, I want a gun on me, and I want if I have to use it, I want to know it's going to be effective. So
sure.
It's not for me, but it appears to be an option for a lot of other people. So I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting, and you're right. I mean, listen, I think, you know, most of our audience is certainly, you know, non-lethal self-defense maybe would be a backup, right? But when you look at, just again, the growth that we've seen over the past 4 or 5 years in terms of gun owners, and then in terms of people who are thinking about their personal safety, right? I think that that non-lethal option is going to be attractive, particularly to people who are not gun owners now. Maybe who didn't grow up around firearms, right? This is sort of an entry point to them. It's a little bit more of a comfort level. If they, you know, are not used to holding a firearm, they're maybe just have that sort of innate, I don't know about this, right? I've never held a gun before. I didn't grow up around guns. Guns kind of scare me. This is a good entry point to get them to start thinking about how to protect themselves and their loved ones.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a starting point. And I think eventually some of those people might graduate to a firearm. You know, and on Armed American Radio, I've kind of wrestled with that over the years. I've brought a couple non-lethal self-defense tools, you know, a couple tasers and things of that nature. And one was a pepper spray. A guy had a really good idea. It was called the Dad. I don't think he's in business anymore, but it had whenever the pepper spray was released and deployed, it alerted people within the emergency network via Wi-Fi and a GPS that, hey, this was deployed. So if my daughter had it on campus and she deployed it, I would immediately be alerted to her location and she had deployed this non-lethal self-defense tool, which could lead police officers to the scene a little bit quicker. But you know what? The moment that's deployed, the action has already occurred. And here again, everybody shows up late. So it was, but it was an option. I think Byrna fits a, you know, and I'm not on anybody's payroll, okay? But I think it fits in certain aspects in certain people's lives. I think that might be an option for them, but they were certainly there. Another thing that I noticed, you've been to the show before, ATF has always had a fairly heavy presence at the shot. I did not see them at all. Now, that's not to say they weren't there. That's to say that this kid didn't see him. That floor is huge and it grows every year. Mm-hmm. But I did not see ATF at all on that floor. I checked with our good friend, AWR Hawkins, who I roam the floor with quite a bit. We were going a bunch of different directions. He did not either. So I, again, that doesn't mean that they weren't there. I would have loved to have walked up to their booth if they were there. I've done that before and they won't talk to me. But nonetheless, I didn't see a big presence from them. I've never figured out why anybody gave them any dues and paid any attention to them at the shot anyway, particularly over the last 4 years. But nonetheless, I didn't see the presence there. I thought that was interesting.
That is interesting. Yeah. You know, and you mentioned, again, the sort of the excitement over, you know, having Donald Trump in office, but also at the same time, again, that trepidation, right? Of, okay, well, what happens if people do feel complacent, if they do feel comfortable, and maybe think that, all right, you know, we don't have to worry for the next 4 years? Because I think that's short-sighted, Mark. I mean, you look at what's going on today in Colorado. SB3 is getting its first committee hearing. This is a ban on virtually every semi-automatic long gun out there, right? You know, under SB3, the only semi-automatic long guns that would be available for sale in Colorado would be those with fixed magazines, which takes basically every semi-automatic firearm off the market there in Colorado. This is the model legislation, right? This is what they are pursuing now in state after state. And, you know, we've got the Supreme Court, which has been holding on now to the Snope case for weeks, hasn't kicked it loose, hasn't said, nope, we're not taking the case, hasn't said, yep, we are taking the case. We're still in this holding pattern. And in the meantime, the gun control groups, look, they know that they can't get anything through Congress right now. They know that Donald Trump is not going to be their friend for the next 4 years, but they still have Gavin Newsom, right? They've got Maura Healey in Massachusetts. They've got Phil Murphy in New Jersey and Josh Shapiro and Josh Stein in Pennsylvania, North Carolina. They've got allies where they can make moves. And so and they've got money. Absolutely. So how concerned are you that we're sitting here watching the Supreme Court? I don't know what the hell's going on with the Supreme Court, Mark, but it is getting increasingly frustrating to watch them just sit on their hands here when we see these ramped up attacks on some of the most commonly owned firearms in the country.
Let's mingle both of those together. I'm very concerned. More concerned than I've ever been before at a complacency level, because I'm seeing it. I talked with our good friend Alan Gottlieb yesterday while I was on air during a break to get an update on that Snopes case, and was alerted while I was on air yesterday that the Supreme Court, I don't know if I want to use the word punted it again. I think that's the term that you and I used last week on Cam & Company. Has it been punted again? It appears to have been. But I was also notified by Alan that they could also, it's also right, it could be a special session. That could happen too. So while it's not dead, the good part about this, and I want viewers to understand this, is that it's not dead. It was not denied. So if you have an option of it being denied or punted and moved to another conference, I'll take punting and move to another conference. Because again, we don't know why they're not taking it. It would make sense, having done this for so many years, to believe that whoever those four justices are that want this case, that's why it's not been denied. I feel comfortable saying that, or it would have been. But whoever those four are worried about the fifth necessary to rule on that case the way they want it to be ruled. So that's just an educated guess. Unfortunately, we never know because the court doesn't tell us that. So what does all this mean to viewers? This means that the Snopes case, if it's not heard in special session, which it could now, Alan also mentioned to me, because of the length of where this case is through the process, they could rule without oral argument. argument in this case as well. That's also a possibility. It would be rare, but it could be done. But I want people to understand that what's happening here, if this case is punted, if it's not ruled on without oral arguments, if it's not moved in special session, then it just simply moves it to the next term. And what does that mean? It means we're not going to get a decision this summer, Cam. It means we're going to have to wait till next summer. And all of us want a decision on this. It's frustrating. But I think in the long run, the reason will become clear. I feel confident in talking with Alan. We know that if we get this case heard, we get cert. We're very confident we're going to win this case. But how confident are we if they're not granting cert right now? See, this is where these questions are. This is why I have concern. And I think complacency right now becomes an issue outside of this case. Complacency tends to have fingers that go everywhere. If you're getting complacent about your gun rights and you're not donating anymore, maybe you're not paying as much attention to the gun control movement because it's not in the news all day long, that gives them a victory. Because of this money, they're going to start ramping up their PR campaigns at state level, but they're going to do it at a national level to give visibility to what they're doing at the states. So I'm more concerned now than I've ever been before. I don't know if that made sense, but I'm very concerned about that. And that was a concern on the floor of SHOT as well, too.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And again, you know, so there's a couple of things, right? There is that complacency of, well, the Supreme Court is our backstop, and any bad bills that become bad laws, the Supreme Court's going to knock it down, right? There's that level of complacency, which, again, I don't think that we can guarantee or we should assume that the Supreme Court is going to strike down every bad law, right? We just saw with Maryland's handgun qualification license, Supreme Court did not take up this challenge, right? So that gun licensing law is going to be in effect for the foreseeable future in Maryland, even though this amounts to, you know, among other things, a de facto 30-day waiting period on the purchase of a handgun in the state of Maryland. And again, you've got to get a permission slip from the state before you can exercise your right to keep a gun in your home. These are things that I think we would all agree are pretty blatant infringements on our Second Amendment rights, but the Supreme Court denied cert in that case. So, you know, there is that complacency, that misguided complacency. Well, the Supreme Court's got it, so we don't have to worry about it. But then again, there's also, right, that complacency. Well, you know, Donald Trump's in office, so we don't have to worry about the things coming down at the federal level. I happen to believe that that's true, at least maybe for the next 2 years, right? We'll see what happens in the midterms. Democrats obviously want to take back control of the House and the Senate, and Republicans have pretty slim margins right now. But again, that ignores what's going on at the state level. And the gun control lobby, Mark, you know this as well as I do, they are very good at playing the long game. Right now, I will say, if you look back over the decades, they've been fighting the losing battle, right? In the 70s, it was, we're going to ban handguns, and nobody's really talking about that these days. But they don't go away. They are constantly willing to shift the parameters of what they're fighting for, so that they can try to get as many gains as possible, right? They are very well funded. They have, again, their fingers in academia. They have their fingers in the media. They have their fingers in the blue state legislatures. So it would be a huge mistake for gun owners to think, and for Second Amendment advocates to think, all right, everything's golden right now. And we're in this, you know, lull where we don't have to worry as much about our Second Amendment rights. We do. I think the threats are just as existential as they've ever been. It's just that maybe they're masked a little bit more than they've been in the past.
Well, Cam, one of the things when we talk about complacency that is going to work against us is a lack of national coverage on some of these state issues. You mentioned Colorado. If you're not in Colorado, if you're in Missouri, or if you're in Georgia, or you're in Florida, or pick a state outside of Colorado, doesn't matter where you are, behind the blue wall or not, you're likely not going to be hearing as much news unless you're plugged in to what we're doing and talking about these things and staying on top of the game, which is why it's so important. I'll go there in a second. But from the national media attention, these state issues are not going to get that. So those of us fighting these battles and gun owners around the country who need to be engaged might not be as engaged because they're not seeing the news in Colorado as often. This is why it's so important that they stay in groups like GOA. This is when we have to grow our membership, because it's the Second Amendment Foundation, it's GOA, it's other groups, it's NRA, to however, whatever they've been relegated to, they are still fighting these fights, NSSF as well. So we have to let people know across the country. That's where all of us become very, very important in this. We cannot leave Colorado to hang because we're not seeing it on the news. It's making lots of news in Colorado. If you're a member of any Colorado rights organization, you're getting that news. But if you're not, unless you're a member of GOA or NRA or SAF, you're not being fed that news, particularly by the mainstream press, that you would have gotten if there were an anti-gun administration in there. You would have seen more. There would have been more visibility here. So that is a problem, too. And I don't know how we do what we do. We keep talking about it. We keep it out there. We tell people you have to stay engaged. And this is why you have to stay engaged. Look, what happens in Missouri, what happens in New York, what happens in Georgia, what happens in Texas affects all of us when it comes to our gun rights. Doesn't matter what state we're in. We have to stay engaged in this. And that was a concern on the floor. There's no question about that. But I feel from a positive standpoint, when the economy starts to do what the economy is going to do, once we start, as Trump says, what, drill, baby, drill. Once we start bringing costs down of oil and energy, once we start, you know, Saudi Arabia starts lowering prices to compete with U.S. oil, we get energy costs down. Guess what happens? The cost of everything, cost of goods begins to come down. And that puts more money in our pockets, which enables us to buy those guns that we might have been sitting on for the last 4 years because we haven't had that discretionary income. Now we have it. So I feel comfortable. And I did talk to some CEOs that did not disagree with me that by the third quarter, we could begin to see a really big uptick in the firearms industry. And let's face facts. We're still at record levels of gun sales. It's a little bit depressed from where it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, but we're still in record territory. So you got this weird paradigm shift going on and a lot of dynamics in play. And I'm just going to say it's going to be fun to watch, but we've really got to keep our finger on the pulse because the anti-gunners and their money are in it for the long haul, and they are going to begin all kinds of new PR campaigns that are designed to fool us and trick us and not let us see what they're up to at the state level. We have to stay engaged.
Absolutely. Mark Walters from Armed American Radio. Always a pleasure, my friend. And let folks know how they can find you on online or on the radio.
ArmedAmericanRadio.com. You can watch me. You can listen to the program. Got a new podcast coming out later this year, hopefully by the end of the first quarter. Lots of fun stuff. ArmedAmericanRadio.com gets you everything.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, brother Cam.
My thanks once again to Mark for joining us on the program. Tomorrow, by the way, we're going to be talking more about what's going on in Colorado in SB3. Laura Carno from Faster Colorado is going to be with us on the program. So I want to talk not only about that semi-auto ban, but, you know, Faster is a great program. You've got this set up in Ohio as well. Training school staff to serve as that first line of defense. Last year, we saw a bill introduced in Colorado that, as written, would have obliterated the ability for school districts to have armed school staff. Now, that bill changed during the course of the legislative session. It ended up being basically a bill that negated the ability to carry on a campus, including a college campus, but it did not affect the ability of school districts to have armed school staff. I'm a little concerned that this year we're going to see another assault, however, on that basic ability to protect students and staff from a attack on campus. So we'll talk again with Laura Carno about that on tomorrow's program. Right now, let's turn our attention to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a story out of Shreveport, Louisiana, where a man wanted in a Walgreens fatal shooting has a lengthy criminal history, according to a KTBS in Shreveport. The shooting itself took place last Wednesday in a Walgreens parking lot. And as a KTBS reports, the man that Shreveport police are looking for in connection with that robbery and fatal shooting was just in court last week on two unrelated criminal prosecutions. I guess one of two unrelated criminal prosecutions. As the TV station reports, however, this was not the first time that Larry Lewis has set foot inside a Caddo Parish courtroom. He's a familiar face, they say, in the judicial system with assorted arrests in Caddo Parish dating back to 1997. The 44-year-old Lewis has more than 20 criminal charges listed in the district court record over the three decades now. However, only four of the arrests, they say, have resulted in time spent in state prison. He has been named most recently as a possible suspect in the shooting death of 67-year-old Billy Jameson. And according to the Louisiana Department of Corrections, he has the following convictions and sentences. In 1997, he was convicted of simple burglary of an inhabited dwelling. He was sentenced to a year in prison, released on February 11th, 2000. 2004, he pleads guilty to attempted armed robbery pleading down from armed robbery after robbing a subway clerk at gunpoint. He was sentenced to 4 years for armed robbery, or I guess, again, attempted armed robbery in the plea deal, and was released in September of 2008. Less than 2 years later, he pleaded guilty to possession with intent to distribute a Schedule II drug, sentenced to 10 years. Now, think about that for a second. The nonviolent drug offense lands him in prison for 10 years, or at least gives him a 10-year sentence. Robbing somebody at gunpoint, only 4 years. That's messed up to me. Anyway, he was sentenced to 10 years, but he was released in 2014 after pleading guilty in 2010. So he did about 4 years, then completed supervised probation in 2019. In 2022, he once again pleaded guilty, this time to possession of Schedule II drugs. He was sentenced to 2 years behind bars, but was released in, I guess, less than a year later onto a good time parole supervision. And Shreveport police released him from that supervision in April of last year. He completed his good time parole and sentence on September 18th of last year. KTBS says that two of Lewis's pending charges have happened since the Caddo County DA took office in 2015. One of them, scheduled possession of Schedule II drugs and possession of contraband in a penal institution. The other, indecent behavior with juveniles, that stemmed from a May 9th arrest. A judge set Lewis's bond at $50,000 in that case. He is due in court on that charge in April of this year. And again, right now, a suspect, anyway, in a fatal shooting when arguably, he has received some pretty soft deals in the past. And again, those are just the four instances that have led to him being sentenced to prison. But again, over the course of the past 28 years, he's racked up more than 20 criminal charges, most of which have not resulted in time behind bars, which is an issue all into itself. Today's armed citizen story, also from Louisiana, this time closer to New Orleans, where a armed robber was shot by an armed patron during a robbery of a bar in Marrero, Louisiana. This happened, I guess, over the weekend. It was early Sunday morning, about 4:30 Sunday morning, at a business. I think the bar is called Buttheads Bar and Grill, B-U-T-T-H-E-D-Z, Buttheads Bar and Grill. Authorities identified the suspected robber as 45-year-old Terrell Miles of Harvey, Louisiana. According to police, Miles was wearing a ski mask and gloves, reportedly brandished a gun and demanded money from the bar while going behind the counter. After he obtained at least some cash, a patron who was armed intervened, shooting Miles in the stomach, quote, in defense of others, according to Jefferson Parish Sheriff's Office spokesman, Sergeant Brandon Veal. No other injuries reported, so the armed citizen was able to protect the other folks in that bar. Miles taken to the hospital in a stable condition. Once he is released, he's expected to be booked with armed robbery, as well as being a convicted felon in possession of a firearm. The patron who shot Miles, not facing criminal charges at this time, again, acting in defense of self and others. And finally today, our good deed of the day, in the right place at the right time, will enable to do the right thing. A woman in Louisville, Kentucky, who helped stop an individual from jumping off a bridge over the weekend. Again, talk about being in the right place at the right time. It was about 5 p.m. Sunday afternoon. Police officers dispatched to the Clark Memorial Bridge on reports of a possible jumper. WHAS Channel 11 in Louisville says that a woman who happened to be out for a jog saw this man in crisis, and she physically intervened before police even got there. When a detective showed up, he was the first to arrive at the scene. The man tried to jump a second time. He and the woman were able to get a hold of the guy. The detective asking this woman, who he described as an angel, to press the button on his radio so he could call for more help while he's trying to prevent the man from jumping, holding onto him with both hands. They eventually did get the guy pulled back onto the side of the railing where, you know, the road was, as opposed to where he could jump off. He was placed in cuffs, not because he was arrested, but just for his own safety, taken to a hospital for treatment. Nobody was injured. And Louisville Metro Police praising the woman, saying she didn't have to do anything. She could have jogged right past and went about her day. Her character and her morals are demonstrated with her willingness to get involved and to save a life. Now, we don't know the name of this woman. Don't know that we ever will. But in the right place, at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing for a stranger in need, at some risk to herself, by the way. Whoever that anonymous Good Samaritan is, we thank you for your very, very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms, Cam & Company. I want to thank you, as always, for being a part of the program. I know you're not complacent. You are paying attention every day to what's going on with your right to keep and bear arms, and we certainly do appreciate it. Be sure to check out BearingArms.com throughout the day. We're keeping you up to date on all of the latest Second Amendment news and information. And if you like what you see, I would also encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, maybe even VIP Platinum member at Town Hall Media. You will get all kinds of exclusive benefits, but you'll also be supporting the independent pro-Second Amendment journalism that we're doing. And that support is desperately needed. So thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your 2A Tuesday. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.